You're listening to Martian Gardens. This is episode 927, hour number one. My name is Max, and I'm happy to have you with me. We will hear next music on a theme of war. But what we heard just starting off was Emmanuel Artiulli performing Brent Michael David's piece, Testament of Atom. That's A-T, Testament of Atom. That's from a CD called Walk in Beauty on Innova Recordings. All works with piano by Emmanuel Artiulli. That was recorded at Keller Hall, University of New Mexico in 2016. That's Innova Recordings release. The Martian Gardens blog for complete playlists and other information is martiangardens.blog. Our first set will be on a theme of war. We start with Haskell Small, No, from Lullaby of War, Part 2, a 2008 composition set to text by different poets. This is on a poem by Joy Harjo, a Native American poet. Then from Heiner Goebbels, we'll hear selections from Landscape with Distant Relatives, Krieg der Stadt, and Different Nations. Different Nations has a text by Gertrude Stein from her collection Wars I Have Seen, published in 1945. From Gloria Coates, we will hear a couple of selections from her The Force for Peace in War, two selections, Recitative and BBC, Recitative with a BBC weather report, and Aria, The Flying Bombers, Ideas and Thoughts of Phyllis McGinley in 1942. Phyllis McGinley, another well-known poet, and we'll then hear from Peter Garland, an instrumental piece called Spring View from his CD After the Wars. This is subtitled from a haiku by Tu Fu, "The nation is ruined, but the mountains and rivers remain." And that's a Cold Blue music release, and the piano is performed by Sarah Cahill. Then from Charles Wuorinen, we'll hear The Formal Invitation from It Happens Like This, a cantata for four singers and 12 players on poems of James Tate. And that's from Charles Wuorinen, Volume 3, released on Bridge Records in 2017. Again, the Martian Gardens blog for complete details on all these pieces is martiangardens.blog. Once again, that's martiangardens.blog. This is episode 927, hour number one. We start with the Washington, D.C.-based composer and pianist Haskell Small. This is called No, Lullaby of War, Part 2. Thank you. No, by Joy Harjo. Yes, that was me you saw, shaking with bravery, with a government-issued rifle on my back. I'm sorry I could not greet you as you desired, my relative. No, they were not my tears. I have a reservoir inside. They will be cried by my sons, my daughters, if I can't learn how to turn tears to stone. Yes, that was me standing in the back door of the house in the alley with a bowl of beans in my hands for the neighbors, a baby on my hip. No, I did not foresee the flood of blood, how they would forget our friendship. Would return to kill me and the baby. Yes, that was me whirling on the dance floor. We made such a racket with all that joy. I loved the whole world in that silly music. No, I did not realize the terrible dance in the staccato of bullets. Yes, I smelled the burning grease of corpses after they were lit by the pages of our poems. And like a fool, I expected our words might rise up and jam the artillery in the hands of dictators. No, we had to keep going. Our songs of grief cleaned the air of enemy spirits. Yes, I did see the terrible black clouds over the suburb as I cooked dinner, and the messages of the dying spelled there in the ashy sunset. Everyone addressed Mother. No, there was nothing about it in the news. Everything was the same. Unemployment was up. Another queen crowned with flowers. Then there were the sports scores. Yes, the distance was great between your country and mine. Yet our children played in the path between our houses. We had no quarrel with each other. Joy Harjo.
Same way, and we talked as we walked. She said a little further along, she had a house, but she didn't live there. She'd had a sister paralyzed for 35 years who had lived there, but she died 2 years ago. Now, she now lived somewhere else with her brother-in-law. He was all she had. But, of course, someone stayed at the paternal house to take care of the children. Oh, I forgot. I had Basket on a leash. Because on the road, there are quite a number of automobiles. No German ones. French ones. French always keep on going somehow. Anyway, I said I had Basket on a leash because he, having worms, was a little nervous. He almost was run down by an automobile, so I told her, and I said, a dog is so easily killed. Yes, she said, we had a little dog at the paternal house, and he had to be killed because he had diabetes. And I said, we had a little dog we loved very much, and he went blind, and we had to have him killed. And is he dead? She said. And I said, yes. And she said, it is different with chickens, she said. Just the other day, a camion came along, and he ran over one of our chickens, and he didn't notice it, he just went on. But a little later, another camion came along, and he noticed it. And he stopped, and he got down and gathered in that chicken. Anyway, my nephew came out, and as he went away, he noticed the number. So a little later, when the camion came back again, my nephew said, you have to pay me for that chicken. That is to say, not money. I do not want money. I want the chicken. And the man said, not at all. I will pay you, but I will not give you the chicken. And my nephew said, he didn't want payment. He wanted the chicken. And the man said he didn't have it, which after all was probably a lie, but still, perhaps he had already eaten it. Anyway, my nephew said, he will take the payment. And the man said, not at all. And my nephew said, why not? And the man said, because I am not. And my nephew said, well, suppose you make a package and give it to the Red Cross for a prisoner. Not at all, said the driver, and he drove away. Well, what did your nephew do? I have no nephew, she said. I only have a niece. That is to say, I only have a father-in-law. That is not my house where I live. It belongs to my father-in-law. And at that point, our roads parted and we said goodbye.
invited to a formal dinner party given by Marguerite Farnish Burridge and her husband, Nelm Oswald Lancelot Burridge. I had never met either of them, and I had no idea why I was invited. When the butler announced me, Mrs. Burridge came up and greeted me quite graciously.
"I'm so happy you could join us," she said. "I know Nelm is looking forward to talking to you later."
"I can't wait," I said. "I mean, the pleasure's all mine." Nothing came out right. I wanted to escape right then, but Mrs. Burridge dragged me and introduced me to some of her friends.
"This is Nicholas and Sondra Pepperdine. Nicholas is a spy," she said.
"I am not," he said.
"Yes, you are, darling. Everyone knows it," she said. "And Sondra does something with swans. I'm not sure what. She probably mates them, knowing Sondra."
"Really? I'm saving them from extinction," Mrs. Pepperdine said.
"And this is Mordecai Rhinelander. And as you might guess from his name, he's a Nazi. And his wife, Dagmar, is a Nazi too. Still, lovely people," she said.
"Marguerite, you're giving our new friend a very bad impression," Mr. Rhinelander said.
"Oh, it's my party and I can say what I want," Mrs. Burridge said.
A servant was passing with cocktails, and she grabbed two off the tray and handed me one.
"I hope you like martinis," she said.
And left me standing there. "My name is Theodore Fullerton," I said, "and I'm a depraved jazz musician. I prey on young women, take drugs whenever possible, but most of the time I just sleep all day and am out of work." They looked at one another and then broke out laughing. I smiled like an idiot and sipped my drink. I thought it was going to be an awful party, but I just told the truth whenever I was spoken to, and people thought I was hilariously funny. At dinner, I was seated between Carmen Malanka and Gadina Barnafi. The first course was fresh crab meat on a slice of kiwi. Mine managed to slip off the plate and landed in the lap of Carmen Malanka. She had on a very tight, short black dress. She smiled at me, waiting to see what I would do. I reached over and plucked it from its nest.
"Nice shot," she said.
"It was something of a bullseye, wasn't it?" I said. Gadina Barnafi asked me if I found wealthy women to be sexy. "Oh, yes, of course," I said. "But I generally prefer poor, homeless waifs, you know, runaways, mentally addled, unwashed, sickly, starving women."
"Fascinating," she said.
Served. Nelm Burridge proposed a toast.
"To my good friends gathered here tonight, and to your great achievements in the furtherance of peace on earth."
I still had no idea what I was doing there. I mentioned this to Carmen since we'd almost been intimate.
"You're probably the sacrificial lamb," she said.
"The what?" I said.
"The human sacrifice, you know. To the gods for peace," she said. "I figure it's got to be you. because I recognize all the rest of them, and they're friends.
You've got to be kidding me, I said.
No, we all work for peace in our various ways, and then once a year we get together and have this dinner.
But why me? I said.
That's Marguerite's job. She does the research all year, and she tries to pick someone who won't be missed. Someone who's not giving in a positive way to society. Someone who is essentially selfish. Her choices are very carefully considered and fair, I think. Though I am sorry it's you this time. I think I could get to like you, she said.
I picked at my food. Well, I guess I was a rather good choice. Except that some people really like my music. They even say it heals them, I said.
I'm sure it does, Carmen said. But Marguerite takes everything into consideration. She's very thorough.
You're listening to Martian Gardens. You're listening to Martian Gardens. This is episode 927, hour number one. My name is Max, and I'm glad you're with me listening to this great music. We just heard from Charles Wuorinen and his piece, It Happens Like This, a cantata for four singers and 12 players on poems of James Tate. That was called The Formal Invitation. We started with Haskell Small and a piece called No from his Lullaby of War. That was Lullaby of War Part 2 from his CD Book of Hours on MSR Classics, piano by Haskell Small. And the original text reading by Robin Weigert was too faint on the Adobe Audition program I'm using to record this program, although it is perfectly audible on the source recording. After fiddling with the Adobe Audition volume and amplification for a while, getting no satisfactory results, I read the text myself as a last resort. So that was text by the Native American poet Joy Harjo, and that was called No. We then heard from Heiner Goebbels, German composer, and two selections from his piece called Landscape with Distant Relatives. We heard Krieg der Stadt and Different Nations. Different Nations uses a text from Gertrude Stein and Stein's collection Wars I Have Seen, first published in 1945. This was music recorded in Paris in October of 2004. This featured the Ensemble Moderne with the Deutsche Kammerchor conducted by Frank Ollu. And then we followed this with the Gloria Coates, and we heard selections from The Force for Peace in War, Recitative, BBC Weather Report, then Aria, The Flying Bombers, Ideas and Thoughts of Phyllis McGinley in 1942. Phyllis McGinley is a poet who's been called by her critics an anti-feminist poet. That was music from the performed by the Musica Viva Ensemble Dresden, conducted by Jürgen Wehrmann. Again, the text here is by Gloria Coates, but it's after an original text by Phyllis McGinley. Music recorded at the Munich Philharmonic Chamber Hall in Gastig, February 27th, 1973 composition. We followed this with Peter Garland and Spring View, which is from his CD After the Wars. Quote, "The nation is ruined, but the mountains and rivers remain." That comes from Japanese poet Tu Fu. Piano here by Sarah Cahill. Music recorded at Architecture Studios, Los Angeles, December 19th, 2014. Following Peter Garland, we ended with Charles Warrenin, and that was called The Formal Invitation, a poem by James Tate, from It Happens Like This, a cantata for four singers and 12 players on the poems of James Tate, included on Charles Warrenin Volume 3, released on Bridge Records in 2017. This is performed by the Group for Contemporary Music, conducted by Charles Warrenin. You can see the more details on this piece and the others at martiangardens.blog. That's once again martiangardens.blog. And we'll end this hour, hour one of Martian Gardens, episode 927, with Minimalism from Julia Wolf and from Steve Reich. From Julia Wolf, we'll hear from her CD Steel Hammers, released on Cantaloupe Music in 2014, performed by Bang on a Can All-Stars. And this piece is called The States. And like all the pieces on Steel Hammers, it uses its inspiration derived from the John Henry ballad. Then from Steve Reich, we'll hear Different Trains, Part 1, America Before the War. And this comes from Different Trains and Electric Counterpoint, a music of Steve Reich by Pat Metheny and Kronos Quartet. Different Trains is for Kronos, is for a string quartet and pre-recorded tape. Again, you can see the details of these recordings at martiangardens.blog. Once again, martiangardens.blog. Julia Wolf, and then Steve Reich. We start with Julia Wolf. This is called The States. Oh,
Kentucky.
West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia.
Virginia, West Virginia. West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia. West Virginia, West Virginia, 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 Virginia. West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia, 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 Virginia. West Virginia, West Virginia.
New York. 1940, 1941, Thank you.